You sound bleak. You are listening to Hacker Voice Radio. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, baby. Oh. Yes, you yes, 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 and having a buffer overflow. Hacker Voice Radio does it to me every time.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio. We've kind of started a little bit late because Ionix is AWOL. And we are joined for the first time with our very special guest. And you announce yourself, man, because you are the freaking king.
I'm Hebron.
Yes.
Yeah.
The BT jacket man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I want to do a hat sometime, look in a helmet.
Yeah?
Yeah, I want to just add to the freaking whole social engineering BT collection kind of thing. Jacket plus a helmet.
Right.
Do that sometime.
Oh man, that's going to be... That's the whole shebang there.
Yeah. Van.
Yeah. Just get a white van, paint a nice little 3D BT van logo on there. Man, you might as well just go ahead and just join BT while you're there. Yeah. It will save you a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So what's it like to be on the show rather than listening to it?
It's pretty strange, really. I'm not used to doing any sort of internet radio kind of thing.
Yeah.
Really, especially not a live one, so
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because there's, you know, we do it on the fly and there's always going to be weird sound problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good to have you on the show, man.
Yeah, it's cool too.
Yeah. So what did you think of Ionix's kind of freaking contribution to the UK scene? Some guy that lives very far across the pond.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, but yeah, he covered a lot of good aspects of the whole freaking situation in the UK, really. It goes further than a lot of the information that's currently available online, since most of that's out of date now, so interesting to hear a lot of the stuff he had to say.
Yeah, it was amazing, because, you know, I mean, you must know yourself, I mean... All right, the way my history goes with freaking is way, way back when one-to-one was around. I don't know if you knew about the little one-to-one called the voicemail number with the little PP sign and then this and that, and then you get free calls to the number. And beige boxing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the biggest thing I did with freaking was to beige box a... one of the distribution boxes on the street. And what I did is, because it has mains power directly to it, I plugged a handset base station in there, beige box to somebody's line, and then made calls wirelessly for free.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. the most I've done with a beige box, really, is just... have a play around with some one on the side of my house, a little box.
Yeah.
Open that up and I play with it. I haven't really gone into cabinet boxes or anything. You've seen photos of the British ones and they are pretty chaotic inside those.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't like to.
They're pretty fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, let me just turn down my sound a little bit. Maybe. Is that a little bit better? Yeah, it sounds a bit better. Yeah. Just some weird kind of choppy echo coming back from you.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I mean, the whole kind of freaking scene in the UK has probably been dormant for some while.
Yeah, it was really most active in the 90s when, like, news groups like OutPH UK and stuff were pretty active and that sort of thing. It was, like, tailed off into the 2000s and all that.
I wonder why. I mean, you can actually, a while back I got into communication with some of the really old hackers and freakers of the UK, and they were really surprised to hear from me, and they never really gave me a straight answer as to why they stopped making the designs, as to why they stopped publishing text files and stuff like that. But they're really, really out of date, especially for the UK, and horribly inaccurate. I don't know if you found that as well.
Yeah, there are definitely loads of crap information out there. Yeah, I'm trying to bring it up to date, really.
Oops. Is that better?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that your site is developing. I don't know if you want to plug that.
If you want to listeners want to check that out, it's vorkal.org, VORKAL.org. It's basically my site. I'm just trying to get a bunch of freaking and hacking files together, really. And actually, what I'm going to be doing quite soon now on that, I've just started working on it, is to get a list of UK payphones together.
Yeah.
Which is going to be quite interesting.
Like a kind of UK Yapple.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to try and do. At the moment, I haven't got any decent hosting for it, so it won't be anything like as advanced as that.
Well, if you want, we can get you some hosting space via our host. So basically, what happens is your domain points to a share folder on our host, and basically FTP directly to your folder on our server.
All right, yeah, that'd be pretty cool if I had that.
Let's see what we got in the news today. I've been playing around with the new Microsoft Live. Local. I don't know if you've heard about that. What it is their version of Google Maps. Yeah, there's some different changes to it. The fact that you can right click anywhere and basically set your waypoints. Also, point of view or bird view function is amazing. The amount of detail and the amount of focus and zoom you can get into the actual picture. The clarity of it is amazing. You can actually see people. You can distinguish people's color of their clothes on the street. Via that satellite. It's amazing.
It's like Google Earth, really.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it goes into such detail. Only in kind of peak locations.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds pretty cool. You got a link to that?
I think it's live. Wait, let me give that out to everyone. It's pretty process intensive. Where is it?
Incoming chat request.
Where is it? Ah, yes. It's, if you go to local.live.com. You'll find what it's all about there. The best place to see the point of bird view eye, whatever it's called, if you go to like New York or something, and you can literally zoom in all the way down into the street, and then you have the option to really go in deep into the picture. You can see straight down into the streets and stuff like that. Although there are some disadvantages, it has some weird kind of sticky click thingy. It has a weird interface.
Yeah, I can see that with the. It's not like Google Maps or anything.
No, not at all. Still, it's fun to play around with.
Yeah.
Looks like Yahoo is joining the VoIP bandwagon. They're bringing in voice over IP features to the upcoming Yahoo Messenger release. So that should be pretty cool, I guess. Guess what I played around with today?
Dinner.
Xbox 360.
Did you, you bought one?
No, I played around with it in a shop.
Oh, right, okay. That's okay. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's, as a console, it's very, very sweet. But I have to say, that plexiglass case it was in was very hot.
It's very hot.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, my brother. And,
yeah, it's awesome. The gameplay is awesome. So maybe just maybe I might buy one sometime along the, you know, line of its existence.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my brother has ordered one of these things.
Yeah.
And he got it, I think it was a couple of days ago now. And I haven't played on it yet, but from what he's told me about it, it does really get hot when you've been playing for a few hours. He hasn't had any sort of crashes or anything on it yet, but it's hotter than the PS2, and that got pretty hot when I've been using one of those.
I never experienced any kind of problems with the PS2 at all. It's been running for quite a few years now, happily, playing DVDs and all that kind of jazz. Yeah, definitely there's quite a lot of problems with the 360 that people aren't so aware of. In the UK, you know, it hasn't hit us yet. Hopefully, they would have revised the new version or modified the cooling system so that this thing actually works. But I have to say, it's awesome. It is a very cool console. Blue's just saying that PS3 is going to be better than Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Let's just see if it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should have like a little compartment where you put ice cubes in, so cools it a little bit.
Yeah.
So you got any 0 days or any news or anything like that?
Not really. I don't think I've got much to. No news, I don't think.
Yeah, it's been a weird old day today. Hopefully, tomorrow we'll go quick because I've got to get back to work. It's going to be a nightmare. But yeah, I don't know what's happening with our usual hosts, Ionix and.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we gotta have you on the show more often because
incoming file transfer.
I don't know why he's trying to send me this file because I can't receive it. Ah, maybe I'll do it. I don't know. See the. The problem is, once the show is actually recorded, it sounds pretty good on the recording, but probably from your end, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is.
Never mind. So you got any tips or tricks or anything like that for people that are interested in kind of getting started and freaking or want to know?
Well, I'd say that if you're wanting to start getting into the whole freaking thing in the UK, I wouldn't go around reading the old text files. They aren't going to be of much use today. I'd talk to someone who knows what they're doing, like Ionix. He knows what he's doing. I'd talk to him about it. If you want to start playing with your own line, there's a number you can dial, 17070, which will give you all sorts of tests you can do on your line, and you'll learn quite a bit by doing that. And just by playing around with things, finding new numbers, scanning for stuff, and playing with the systems you find.
So I guess, like, the next question would be, what's the kind of legality threshold of things you can play around with and things you can't? And is there kind of... basically, how would you cover your tracks? And how would you make sure that what you're doing is legal or not? I mean, you know...
Okay, generally, just scanning and that sort of stuff, it's perfectly fine. A VT may, if you're using an auto dialer or Dean dialer or whatever, then you might get in trouble with VT because I think it's in their terms of service that you can't use automatic dialing systems and that sort of stuff. But if you're just dialing by hand, you should be fine. If you are going to do something vaguely, questionable by VT standards, I'd do it from a payphone, really. If it's an 800 number and that sort of stuff. If you want to mask what you're doing, you're going to have to find an out dial on the PBX and that sort of stuff. But that, again, is illegal in itself, unless you've got permission to use VoIP, because you can get an account by using a fake name or whatever, and just use that. Though you don't have a full functionality of a real line or anything, but it's good enough for most general freaking things you want to do, scanning, that sort of stuff.
So, to get into it, it's pretty inexpensive, really, isn't it? All you need is a phone and your fingers.
If get into freaking at no cost whatsoever, you've just got an internet connection, get Skype. They run about 800 numbers, or toll-free 800 numbers in the US.
Like, we've given quite a lot of examples during one of the shows.
Yeah,
the best part of it is coming across really weird kind of messages or weird things going on with phone systems. Like, we've experienced before.
Yeah, that's why I like international systems. You get all sorts of strange error messages and all sorts of quite tricky systems to work your way around. Really.
So is the BT network pretty much secure as far as... any kind of, I don't know, call routing, blue boxing goes and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, in the UK they've replaced all the in-band signalling kind of systems. Now it's pretty much running on System X and System Y, which System Y is a synonym for AX10. Those are the two main systems that are used in the UK, and those you all use out-of-band signalling. They're all digital. There are very few other different kind of systems in the UK. Almost, I don't think there are any analog systems left whatsoever nowadays.
So in your experience, would you pretty much be out of luck when it comes down to, like, I don't know, blue boxing a payphone or something like that?
Blue boxing from a payphone, you mean?
Red boxing a payphone.
Yeah, there are some old payphones still hanging around that are red boxable. The operators, there was a trick where you could phone an operator and tell them that you were having trouble dialing a number and play the tones that way.
Maybe now, 15 years ago or something.
now they've changed their policy and they won't accept that as a valid sort of dialing system or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we've tried a lot of phones, and I think, you know, trying to do toll fraud or even experimenting with toll fraud, you're not going to get very far. You know, the best thing you could do is just see how they work, see how they're built, and I got the privilege of getting to basically rip apart a through part of paper, and I took out the control board of it. I don't know if you were privileged to that information.
No.
But yeah, I'm gonna stick up. Actually, I've got a few pictures on there. No, I don't. I don't have any pictures of it up on the website. But I can send you some if you're interested in looking what a control board of a payphone looks like.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I'd like that.
Mm. So, I mean,
what I've noticed
in the UK is that there's two major payphone providers. One is Oneworld, which have the smart Z phones, and others is just a payphone, BT payphone with a different kind of Millennium phone, text and phone ones, just a coin phone and credit card phones, and obviously the broadband phones.
I'm in Cornwall, so I get not the same payphones as everyone else, but mostly what I see around here is BT ones.
Right.
It's pretty quite a monopoly, really. They're, you don't see, like in the US, the Cocots out in the street. The only Cocots in the UK are the ones inside buildings.
Yeah.
Like the solitaires and that sort of stuff.
So, I mean, what would you be able to do from where you are, like in Cornwall? Let's say you've got a really old payphone, and it doesn't have like coin recognition signaling or whatever it's called. That's how much I know.
Yeah. Here in Cornwall, most of the ones around my city, are all using. They are using the modern systems nowadays, but if you're looking towards the other, if you go out into the countryside a bit more, you see payphones which haven't been upgraded in the last 5-10 years, whatever. So those ones are the ones you can really play with and find sort of features that weren't supposed to be found by you on. And there are some still that you can red box on to a certain extent that do recognise the tones in one way or another, though a lot of them don't let you play them straight off once you pick up the handpiece. You've got to initiate a call first and then play them midway through the call.
Right.
That's one thing. Is that those are some of the older ones, but mostly for the whole part, BT's really gone all out and replacing payphones to modern sort of things.
I found with red boxing that what the payphone does is it actually mutes the speaker, sorry, the microphone, a few seconds in to whatever you're trying to do.
It varies from payphone to payphone. Certain types that either been programmed badly for your purpose, but on the whole part, they're just old and they haven't been updated with the protection against this sort of thing. But BT mostly has done this in main areas where people live, so you're going to have to go quite a long way out to find one which isn't updated or protected.
Is there any way of being able to tell visually the kind of model or age or I don't know?
There isn't really a huge amount of documentation about the various models of payphone. There is a site I do remember which had a list somewhere. I can't remember.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
that'd be drop those dots.
Yeah, but a lot of the modern ones, they all look the same. You've got I'm sure you know what they look like. You know, the standard ones with the LCD, with language controls and that sort of stuff. There are two main types I see around here. There's one with quite a long LCD, like 16 characters by 3 rows, I think is what it is. And you see ones with a smaller sort of dot matrix style.
Yeah, like a kind of brownish background.
Those are the current ones I see a lot of around here. But if you go out into the countryside, you see older models. I can't describe them off the top of my head, but I've got some photos somewhere I might be able to dig out of some older ones, which are slightly more insecure when it comes to coin signaling.
Interesting. I mean, there's a whole lot of kind of generation of different phones in the moment. To very, very old ones. With just a simple LCD screen. Those are the... I don't know if you've ever seen the orange ones.
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, they're really extinct now. You'd be hard pressed to find a working one, and the one that hasn't like been pissed and shit inside. Yeah. I always say that the only people that use payphones are tramps, drunk people, and freaks.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, there's pretty much nothing available now as far as cellular freaking goes. Maybe a little bit now with 3G. I know that there's been some sort of exploits in early days of 3G. But I don't know, are you aware of any kind of exploits that are...
I haven't really been too involved in the sort of whole mobile phone cellular freaking sort of scene, but... Yeah, there were definitely sort of exploits going around when a new technology comes along, but they're generally patched pretty quickly, and pretty obsolete by now with the new CDMA or not new. Yeah,
I'm sure you're aware of the 1707 number. I'm sure you've also noticed that they're all blocked off on all BT payphones.
Apart from
a very rare amount that I found in London, but they're all available on the New World ones.
All right.
Yeah, you can basically. They're all barred on BT payphones, apart from a very few amount. I've probably still got the number of the phone that I found. It's probably the most unsecure BT payphone I found in London, which you can still do that on. You can still do the kind of BT line test facility. And also, what else was I going to say? Yeah, you can pretty much do anything you want with the New World ones. I don't know if you've played around with that.
No, I haven't really played with those yet. They haven't come down this far yet.
Right.
Yeah, but if you look at a lot of CoCots, that you know the ones I'm talking about, the Solitaire, the black ones. Yeah, a lot of those ones, they on their default setup, I think they bar 17070 and 175 and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But on a few ones you find which are poorly configured, you do actually have those services unlocked.
Right,
it'd be quite interesting.
So would it be an accurate assumption to take that BT payphone has been poorly configured?
Well, yeah, I think depends on the model of the phone. I suppose that some types of phones, they are fully customizable by the engineer. They can configure them fully. Like there was one I saw the other day which had been set up so that it only allowed outgoing emergency calls.
Right.
So it's not hardwired into them or anything. It's in the software within them. Yeah.
I mean, I actually got to witness a BT payphone engineer open up two payphones. He did his little number thing. He pressed the little buttons inside, and then started programming the payphones via their codes or whatever. And got the kind of system menus up on the little LCD. I wasn't able to, from that position, take down what he was writing in there. But I know it's a 4G code. I don't know, have you tried any of that stuff? Or, I mean, obviously you wouldn't want to say live on air, but...
Yeah, well, most of the phones that you can access the sort of administrator prompts through their software on are CoCots, and the older BT ones. I think the BT Mark II, the BT, hold on, I'll get it up here. It's basically a BT payphone which looks and acts like a CoCot.
Right.
But it is actually a BT phone, a payphone, on a payphone line. It is the BT payphone Mark, payphone 200 Mark II. That one you can quite easily get onto the administrator prompt with.
How would you go about doing that? Is it like #37 something like that?
It's if I remember correctly, it's *25 80. Or something similar to that. I'm not too sure on that because it's been quite a while since I played one of those. You don't see many of those around anymore. The last time I saw one of those was in a crumbling down leisure centre in Devon, I think. They aren't too common nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, from what I can see, to be able to do anything with a drone, you would have to have the key. And, I mean, my friend did... he did some work experience with VT, where he learned all the secret codes and all the stuff that you do. Basically, when you open up the phone with the key, a silent alarm is triggered. You have about maybe 5 seconds to deactivate the alarm via a switch inside the paper, and then enter a 4-digit code. Once that's done, I think it initiates some sort of software reboot where it enters a admin menu where you can reconfigure the payphone and enter, I don't know, maybe some debugging or whatever whatever they do.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff there. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised about the whole silent alarm thing. BTs are pretty tight on their security nowadays. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they all have modems inside. I know that now because I pulled one apart. So, what I'm guessing triggers the alarm. If you haven't deactivated the right correct code in there, it would call the central office and send a distress signal out. You know, red flags would be triggered, and you'd get, you know, either police or a BT payphone engineer with a really big spanner behind you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's...
So do you know if all those payphones are actually wired up to a special circuit, or are they on the same kind of circuit as consumer lines or lease lines?
Their pair would be pretty similar to a normal local loop you get into your house, but the only difference is that line on BT's system is it's flagged as a payphone.
Right.
If you call the operator, they can tell whether your line's a business line, a residential line, or a payphone.
Okay.
So it's either some sort of form of Annie, like in the US with II digits, identifying the type of line. But we've only got 3 types here.
Sure.
It's probably flagged at the exchange on the pair that comes into there. So,
I mean, the best way to find out would be actually to go in there and maybe work for them for a while. I don't know how available this kind of documentation is as far as their kind of systems go and workings and all that kind of stuff, but and just to be able to know more about it.
I've tried to get some work experience with BT, but they've been pretty reluctant to give out their details of their local offices and that sort of stuff. They will not give you phone numbers to go inside or whatever. And I applied to their careers department, and they've pretty much said, apply to your local office.
Right.
And there's no information about your local office anywhere.
No.
I've not been able to find anything about that. So I'm kind of at a loss as to where to go about that.
Well, the way my friend did it is he knew a guy that worked, and he was like, I don't know, a friend of a family or his uncle's cousin's brother sort of thing, worked for BT, and he said, do you mind if I do something with you, when he, you know, asked his manager, and they okayed it. So we spent 2 weeks driving around in a BT van, breaking the law, traffic law that is, and he found out some very cool stuff. You know, all the kind of BT engineers have these very fancy laptops that have GPRS and Wi-Fi, where they can actually control the switching circuits from the laptop.
Yeah.
So instead of having to go to the exchange, physically remove the pairs, put them on another switch or whatever, they can do that directly through the software via a secure VPN link from the laptop.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool stuff. if you want to get more information about the sort of switching systems used in the UK, the two main types of System X and the Axe 10, as I said earlier, the System X is manufactured by Marconi now. Marconi PLC is the company that does all the support for that. So if you want to get manuals for that, you could try and social engineer some out of them. The Axe 10 is currently maintained by... It's Ericsson, I think. Yeah, it's Ericsson. So those are the companies to try and have a look around for manuals and stuff, right. So understand the inner workings of the switching systems and the interfacing with various kind of... with the remote control by the engineers, that sort of stuff. That would all be probably be documented there.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed the gallery forums. I put up some more pictures of the DT Tower because I work really, really close to it. And regularly on lunchtimes, I go around it and just take a little, you know, a little survey of it. What you'll notice if you ever go there is everything is on full lockdown. As far as going, you know, skip diving, that's virtually impossible. You know. Everything's behind grills, but you can they actually you can take at night only. Can you actually peer through the windows and you can see their exchange, all the pairs, that are stored in the building. It's pretty awesome stuff. Because the reason I say you can only do it at nighttime is because they've got mirror glass on there. So you need light to be coming out of it to be able to see it, if you see what I mean. It's reflective, and it's a bitch. But it's beautiful at night. You can really see all the kind of racks and stuff and all the little blocks where they punch in the pairs into it.
Yeah. Well, around here, all the BT exchanges are big concrete square buildings.
Yeah.
Hardly as nice as the BT Tower or whatever. One of those,
actually, the most amazing one I saw is the Wimbledon Exchange. And that's a huge Victorian building with massive pooling grills. And, sorry, one second, I just dropped a light on the floor. The windows are kind of grilled, so you can see straight through into like the cabling loops and wherever, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't really know an accurate name for it, but it's pretty cool, you know, the infrastructure.
Yeah, I'd like to have a better look at some of the insides of these exchanges, see what kind of stuff they got in there. There's a site that you can go to see all sorts of pictures of UK telephone related things. It's www.telephonesuk.co.uk. That's got all sorts of photos and general information about the UK kind of telecommunications systems.
And it's also telephone suck. Depends on how you read it. I saw pictures of their underground exchanges.
Alright.
I don't know if you ever saw that. It's somewhere in London. They've got, like, you know, the underground, the tube? Those kind of tunnels. They've got exchanges within their kind of fallback infrastructure, all that kind of stuff. I wasn't ever privileged to ever kind of go down there, but the pictures were just enough, you know, to be able to see it.
Yeah, there's definitely a whole other sort of world of telecommunications that we don't know about that is there for emergencies, in case the bomb drops, as it were.
Yeah.
And there's got to be a backup system.
And also a military system as well.
Yeah.
They probably go over secure VLANs and stuff.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think we've got a whole few more generations of things to explore and catch up on that. Since the kind of UK frequency slowed down or died. Actually, that's my second... Well, another question for you is, how did you get into all of this?
Well, I really got into kind of hacking and stuff when I was, like, in primary school, just playing on the school network and that sort of stuff. And from hacking, I thought it was really a natural progression to the telephone network. I started playing around with that. I found all sorts of test codes, found strange kind of systems that I navigated my way around, played with that sort of stuff, and just got learning about the ways things worked and just wanted to learn more about it and just get to know how the system... Just to know the things that that isn't given to you on a plate with your, like, BT line documentation, trying you use this code to do this, you use this code to do that. There are other codes that they don't tell you that do things that you're not supposed to know about. So those are the sort of things I want to find out about and play with.
Yeah, I mean, freaking is just like hacking, but only a different medium.
Yeah, it's just the same thing.
I mean, I started out freaking more in my younger years, and then rapidly got bored of it, and also my ass kicked by my parents because I'd set fire to their main box, and then I moved into hacking because I got my first Amstrad. And then, you know, progressed steadily across there through BBSs and all that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, damn, the stream's down. So, yeah, I mean, do you want to talk about any more things? Or?
Well, do you want to call some numbers or something? I don't mind.
I don't know how this would work because I'm calling you via Skype.
Alright.
And my way to call out is but yeah, let's try it anyway.
Right, okay. Well, I've got some direct dial numbers really that you might want to have a look at.
Okay.
Quite similar to what you're doing a few days ago with Ionics, but do you have any countries in mind you want to call in particular?
Anything. Whatever you've got on your list.
Right, I've got... Well, I can give an example of what most of the numbers you dial in this sort of 800-890 range will sound like.
Okay.
If you want to, just, it's just like an error message. It's, if you call 0800-890...
is this +44?
Yeah, just +44.
Yeah, go ahead.
It, 0800-890-013. This is basically what I call the bard tone, okay, because it's like the tone you get when you reach a bard number if you have call barring enabled online. Right.
This will put you on hold for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of a progressive...
Yeah, that's just basically telling you that the line hasn't been assigned.
Right.
Well, it might be assigned to a country, but it's not really documented, these international direct dial numbers. Mm-hmm. So you, if a line isn't actually connected up to a full circuit or anything, it'll probably give you the BT error message, the number you've dialed has not been recognised. But, the bard tone is basically, it doesn't actually link up to any country in particular, but this is what you'll find mostly if you do a scan of this whole range. Mm-hmm. If you want to fill in an actual real number now, if you want to do...
+44?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Do you want to do Greece?
Okay.
0800-890-030.
080?
030 at the end.
Okay. Wait, 890030?
No, it's 0800-890-030.
Huh, it's weird, that's what I got. Oh no, sorry.
Αθήνα, να λέγεται.
I got a guy picking up on it. He sounded Greek.
Yep, that should be Greece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get through to an operator?
No, I got through to somebody's, and then they put down on me very quickly.
Alright, okay. Well, okay, try another one. I think this one's Croatia.
Okay.
Okay, 0800-890-
0338, sorry.
0338? Yeah.
Zagreb, izvolite.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Da recite.
Zdravo, mogu da dobijem broj za Bihać, koji se zove iz United Kingdom?
Kakav broj za Bihać?
Koji je pozivni broj?
Jel znate za Bosnu pozivni?
Da.
I Bihać i 37.
37, hvala vam puno.
Molim.
Okay, that was Croatia.
Alright, what did you tell them?
I asked the direct line call for a town in Bosnia.
Alright.
Just to kind of start a conversation.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Lucky do you speak that language.
Yeah. I don't think I've got Bosnia on here. Well, I've got some answer to phones which are in this range, which I find quite strange, really. That the direct dial numbers, which are designed for foreign nationals who want to place calls through their home telephone systems, they have answer phones in this range. But there's one on 0800-890-019, which is, I think she's called Isabel Slurry.
Cool, let's give her a call.
Yep.
Hello, you have reached the voicemail of Isabel Fleury. I am not at my desk at the moment. Please leave a message after the tone and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Bye.
Hello, Isabel Cherie. You are live on Hacker Voice Radio. For more information, go to www.hackervoice.co.uk. Thank you for listening.
Pick the shot.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Any countries maybe? Do you want to go to Japan?
Japan.
Yep.
Mushmushi.
Mushmushi. Oh yeah. That'll be 081 for the last three digits of that number.
Oh right. Wait.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, 081, cool.
KDDI 国際電話センターでございます。
もしもし?
もしもし?もしもし?
You are live on Hacker Voice Radio. For more information, visit www.hackervoice.co.uk.
The service you call has cleared.
Hang up on you.
They put down on me.
Yep.
See, I said mush mushy. He said mush mushy to me.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Do you want to do any more?
Yeah, man, I'm hot for this.
Right, there's one in Thailand.
Okay.
Last three digits are 066.
Cool. Hello? www.hackervoice.co.uk. I don't know what she's saying.
Right, yeah, that's confusing. Right, well, there are some quite, there are different numbers in here as well that aren't either country direct dials or anything. They're, like, belong to companies, which wow. I've found pretty strange. There's one on, with the last three digits being 118.
Right.
I think the company's called Ensus Incorporated or something similar to that.
Okay.
But, yeah, since this range is kind of reserved for country direct dials, then
why
I find
is
it quite...
Providing to the company?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a telephone company. Well, that's probably what it is. Hmm. But if it isn't, then it's quite strange.
Okay. Let's give that a call, then.
Thank you for calling Ensus Incorporated. To be transferred to an extension, enter the number now. Support hotline is available Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Don't think they like that.
No. There's another one, which belongs to a company, I think, is 127.
Okay.
In that range. This is the customer support number.
Cool.
Thank you for calling Gallon Client Support. For quality assurance, call may be monitored. Please remain on the line. Available representative. At the conclusion of this call, you can remain on the line. Please take more question evaluation of the service you receive. Thank you.
It's looped. Okay. Interesting. So, maybe companies can buy these specific numbers, or I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, they I think I'm not sure if this range is specified by Ofcom as being reserved for only country direct dials, but that's what it consists mainly of. So cool. It seems quite strange to have companies in this range. And I think, yeah,
cool stuff. Interesting show, man. It was good to catch up with you and get some of the stuff. On tape.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Sorry, I sounded a bit. Well, my voice setup here isn't really too good.
Yeah. Don't worry about it, man.
Yeah,
we've had worse.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Okay. Well, if you don't have anything else to add, I think we can finish off the show.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. Hope to have you on the show again.
Yep. Yep. That'll be good.
Cool. Okay, well, you've been listening to Hacker Voice Radio on the 9th of December 2005 with me, Bilal, and
I am Hepburn.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.